Suck Cannabis Conundrum. My man does it. Foxy Lady. It's four limbs on the beat.
Sometimes I can't think, I don't need a drink. I run to my jar, pull out nugs, let them stink. G4 gas, now my high lasts mad long. Pulling out my iPhone, trying to hear my song. Cannabis Conundrum, Desert Fox, Foxy Lady. Got that new podcast, and it's popping something crazy. Maryland the AC, CBD, THC. Turning up your show when I blow on a sticky treat. You ain't heard of me, shots of D, Shot Radio. Got the theme song for the homies, they gon' play it, yo. Cannabis Conundrum, showing love like it's nothing. Going out to the heads in the pot who be puffin'. Yes. All that loud pack goes good with that rap-ish. Cannabis Conundrum got it wrapped in the package. Only smoke strong, say no to the babbage. Cannabis Conundrum got it wrapped in the package. I'm a love bud till I'm snug in my casket. Cannabis Conundrum got it wrapped in the package. Mr. Iron Lung brung bars blessed with magic. Cannabis Conundrum podcast is fantastic. Okay.
Was recorded earlier because we were ashamed to do it now.
They were one of the very first states to legalize. And here we are, back in California.
Did I just blow your mind?
A marijuana testing lab in Sacramento has admitted to falsifying hundreds of pesticide testing records that were submitted to the state. The company in question? Sequoia Analytical Labs. The firm? Well, they're actually taking full responsibility for what happened. Just wait for this one. Stephen Dutra, the general manager for Sequoia Analytical Labs, verbatim, this was a gut punch, completely.
Finish him!
As you would assume, he was stunned to learn that the lab results from his pesticide testing machines were falsified. Dutra said the former lab director, whom he identified as Mark Foster, admitted the fraud after a surprise visit from state inspectors. Literally, when they asked the lab director where the data came from, he honestly told them, "I faked it."
What the fuck?
The fake data involved 22 of the 66 pesticides for which cannabis is typically tested. More than 700 lab results, maybe close to 800, in a four-month span, are now in question.
Love it.
As they should, Sequoia immediately fired Foster and surrendered its temporary license to the State Bureau of Cannabis Control.
It's official. You suck.
However, additional sanctions could be coming from the city of Sacramento. Joe Devlin, Sacramento's chief of cannabis enforcement, says we're going to be taking a look at suspending or possibly revoking their permit.
Message!
And it's shitty because this loss of a testing lab comes at a time when consumer demand for cannabis products continues to grow. The Bureau of Cannabis Control has said nothing publicly about any possible recall of the marijuana samples in question. Sequoia Analytical Labs has offered to pay for additional testing. Well, yeah, you're the ones that fucked it up. Dutra says, we would like to see these samples released to another lab and tested very quickly for pesticides. You know, again, if any product's harmful, we want to know right away. Dutra also says that typically 3% of all cannabis samples tested actually fail because of pesticide exposure. He believes that most of the samples in circulation pose a very minimal risk to the public. Oh, do you think so? Then why were they falsified?
Pretty sure you're quick and swift enough to know what I mean.
Am I pissing you off, Fafa?
I bet we are.
Sequoia has hired a new lab director and hopes to obtain a license from the state to resume operations in January. Officials from the Bureau of Cannabis Control declined to be interviewed. Consumers, retailers, and distributors are all waiting to see what happens next in the regulatory agency. Currently, there are 44 cannabis pesticide testing labs in California, four of which are in Sacramento. In January, the state will require them to start testing for toxins such as heavy metals as well. There's already a bottleneck in these labs in California, and in January, the bottleneck is going to tighten. We'll have to see what happens next. I know what's going to happen next. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back here on
Cannabis Conundrum.
After all this frustration, I need a little bit of cannabis in my life.
I know, right? Me too.
This is Jonesy, the host of Weird AF News, and I just kind of want to reach out to the listeners of Cannabis Conundrum and Awesome Sauce Radio just to tell you that I think you might enjoy some Weird AF News, right? You know what most people do with their news? They begin with some maybe NPR or CNN and Fox News, all those stories like four died this week, and it just brings you down. Who wants to start your day with a very angry brain? No, you want to start with a happy brain, which means you want to laugh. And if you listen to Weird AF News, you're going to laugh because I cover stories like researchers this week found that within Anne Frank's diary, she was writing dirty jokes. Isn't that amazing? American Airlines bans insects, hedgehogs, goats, and hawks as, quote, emotional support animals on their flights. And a family realizes that a pet dog might be a bear after the animal starts walking around on its hind legs. Please, start your day with Weird AF News. You can find me on all of your podcast platforms.
Hello, and welcome back to the show. I know, it seems like we're picking off California. I almost said Florida. You know, and typically it's the Florida stories that are crazy stories. You listen to any weird news show and you get a bunch of Florida stories. What, in the weed world?
Yo, check it.
Those weird stories come from California. Yes, I'm picking on you, California. You're such an easy target. Now, we all know that the mainstream industry brands, big-name brands, have long contested with product knockoffs, ranging from North Face jackets, Rolex watches, and any and everything in between. Well, the problem seems to be increasingly appearing in the marijuana industry, with vape cartridges as the key target. Just like with fancy handbag knockoffs, the issue can be a major headache for targeted companies. Counterfeiting results in a loss of sales, down pressure on the authentic product's price, not to mention bad publicity if the bogus items are deemed unsafe. Unsafe, you said? Yeah. An example is Mammoth Distribution, an exclusive distributor for heavy hitters, a line of disposable cannabis vape cartridges, exclusively sold in California. This company was alarmed to learn a few months ago that counterfeit heavy hitter cartridges were showing up in illegal storefronts. Lots of illegal storefronts. Not just a few. Everything's made in China nowadays. Even vape cartridges. Heavy hitter vape cartridges and its packaging, they're manufactured solely in China. Where, yeah, ripoffs of mainstream brands happen every single day. Since intellectual property isn't protected as in other countries. We were told that at least one Chinese manufacturer has stolen Heavy Hitter's name and logo, manufactured unauthorized cartridges, packaging, and featuring very similar branding. They sold the cartridges online at sites such as Alibaba. Wow, are you buying weed from Alibaba? You deserve to get ripped off. Just saying. These third parties are buying the knockoff cartridges. They're filling the cartridges with something and selling them on the illicit market, both in California and several other states, often for very steep discounts. Heavy Hitters is not the only company to face this problem. Any big name brand, go to Alibaba and search Brand X packaging. You'll pretty much find anything you're looking for. Adding the bogus products are appearing on other websites as well. And there is no shortage of illegal retailers, eager to cash in on the brand recognition. Of course you are. Of course you are. Cannacraft, another California cannabis company, said it began getting reports about a year ago that Absolute Extracts, its vape line, was counterfeited and sold illegally. Obviously, it's a huge mess. You can't have these kind of counterfeiters because we don't know what they're putting in these cartridges, says the Cannacraft co-founder Dennis Hunter. Hunter said it's scary to think about the ramifications of a counterfeit vapor cartridge that was tested and found to contain toxic pesticides, both for consumers that may be using dangerous MMJ products as well as the company whose brand was ripped off. Everybody loses. Everybody but the guy ripping us off.
Message!
Apparently Mr. Hunter needs to go back and listen to the first segment of tonight's show because, yeah, everybody's trying to feed us pesticides. Illegally and legally. At least in California. I know, California. I know I'm hard on you. The California Secretary of State has created avenues for cannabis businesses to file trademarks, and ultimately, this enables the business to pursue trademark infringement cases in civil court. The same right afforded to other legal businesses in the state, just worded a little differently. The Cannabis Distribution Association suggests that brands can try sending cease and desist letters to unlicensed retailers selling counterfeit products. But they acknowledge that that tactic may not work because illegal retailers are already breaking the law. They really don't care if they're selling knockoffs. That puts them in a very difficult place regarding heavy hitters and canna craft. At this point, the course of action that I believe is underway from the state's perspective is shutting down these unlicensed shops because that's where the access is coming from. Cannacraft is starting to use serial numbers on their vape cartridges so that anyone can easily identify whether a given cartridge is legit or counterfeit. We're going to take a quick break and go pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to stay on the same subject, same topic, but we are going to let California off the hook, I promise. Because this is far, far, far reaching. You are listening to
Cannabis Conundrum.
And we'll be right back.
Smoke weed every day.
Heck yes.
Cannabis Conundrum.
Hell yeah.
Vaping started to have a moment years ago. It has never stopped. According to the CDC, in 2016, 3.2% of U.S. adults were current vape users. A recent New Yorker feature quoted a Wells Fargo analyst who said that U.S. vapor market would be worth $5.5 billion this year. That's up 25% from 2017. Some use vapors as a safer, cleaner, more discreet alternative to cigarettes. Others have embraced it as the best way to get high. Depending on the pen, depending on what you insert, weed, e-liquid, dabs, and then you inhale the vapor. A popular California marijuana delivery app, Ease, noted in its 2017 State of Cannabis Data Report that 72% of its millennial customers had purchased a vape pen. Vape pens even have their own holiday today. July 10th, aka 710, aka oil, spelled upside down. And given the insane popularity, you can't be surprised that vape pens are now the target of aggressive counterfeiting. I mean, the logic behind counterfeiting pens is the same behind ripping off any high-status brand. Produce their merchandise at a lower cost, and then trick people into buying it. And it's worse because people aren't really using strains anymore. They're using brands and product names. Really high-end brands are generating more consumer recognition. Those brands are correspondingly demanding higher prices. And the profit margins on vape pens are already high. In 2016, it was said that vape pens have a 57% profit margin, and that's just in the state of Washington. Obviously, counterfeiting luxury products isn't anything new, but your knockoff Louis Vuitton will never physically harm you beyond a bruised ego. I'm laughing, but it's not funny, because a counterfeit vape pen could do serious damage. The heating element on the pen could fail and heat up inadequately, producing dangerous chemicals rather than vapor. In a worst case scenario, the cartridge could be defective and explode, or it could leak. You hear complaints of oil coming out of the cartridge all the time, or the heating element doesn't work, or the product tastes terrible and seems to have a cloudy color, things like that.
Message!
If you're one of the guys who actually uses the vape pen for pain relief and the heating element stops working, yo, that's a serious problem. For a lot of folks, they don't have another $100 to spend to buy stuff that actually works. That's why they rely on it. And like we told you before with California, vape pen companies are well aware of the counterfeit issues, but as often the case with counterfeiting, there's little to no recourse. Companies who have trademarked products can file a lawsuit, but how do you get a judgment? And that requires a lot of work. Last year, Grenco Science was awarded $47 million in a counterfeit case. That was after suing 65 different online retailers for selling knockoffs, which suggested the scope of the problem. We filed lawsuits every 60 to 90 days, usually 40 at a time.
What the fuck?
Most of the defendants in such cases were located overseas, and they're never going to show up in court, much less pay any damages. That puts the onus on brands to take preventative measures. Grenco Science now issues serial numbers and has a team dedicated to combating clones. Flav, has some of the industry's most aggressive and proactive stances on counterfeiting, utilizing evolving packaging designs to deter copycats. We'll just switch up the packaging, making it harder to rip off, Flav's marketing director told us. By the time counterfeiters got their hands on the packaging to update it, we'd already have ours updated again. The company also has a social media team consistently screening and following up on photos of fake products. Weedmaps also combats the problem by requiring products to be verified on their platform. The best thing you can do to protect yourself at the end of the day is check the official website for the vape pen you're trying to buy and arm yourself with knowledge about their packaging, their verification techniques. Yeah, I know it's tedious, but checking for counterfeits means paying close attention to serial numbers, packaging, reporting the relevant company if your device isn't working or appears to be fake. Dispensaries and consumers are ultimately saddled with the responsibility of making sure their products are legitimate. I mean, these are very well-known marquee brands. Most likely, the dispensary didn't even know that they were counterfeited products. Yes, you can buy counterfeited products from a dispensary. That happens. Another thing that happens is Cannabis Conundrum takes breaks. We like to get up and stretch and pay some bills. We're going to do that right now. We will be right back with you very shortly.
Cannabis Conundrum Podcast.
Stay tuned for the next segment.
You're tuning in to Cannabis Conundrum, and I'm glad that you are. My name is Patrick, and when you're done tuning in to Cannabis Conundrum, why don't you come on over and check out my podcast. The name of it is We Live on a Planet. We're going to just talk some stuff and things. Maybe we'll learn a couple things as well. So come on over and check me out. I hope you do. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Hey, now back to Cannabis Conundrum.
Hey, you guys. I am the Sean Show. That's right. I'm listening to Cannabis Conundrum right with you. How awesome is this?
Today, cannabis brands are starting to establish themselves as top dogs in this game, real ones. And with top dog status comes brand recognition. Yo, brand recognition is the reason why anybody buys or sells fake goods, period. The stronger brands can create a sense of belongingness in the crowd, a touch of elegance, maybe the appearance of wealth. Buying an affordable copy of the brand seems like a no-brainer. I mean, it's lower cost. However, it's gonna come at a much higher price. I can't believe the words are about to exit my mouth, but for the sake of the story and setting up the story, yeah, you can smack me later. So, one of the largest counterfeiting industries of 2017, well, it was makeup. The best example? Kylie Jenner's lip products. The company is exclusively e-commerce. However, teens and adults alike buy fake products from vendors on the streets. They buy them from vendors on eBay. These counterfeit goods are sold at a third of the price of the original cost. At first, everybody who bought the counterfeits thought they were ahead of the game somehow, showing off these luxury products to their friends. However, it wasn't long before investigative lab analysis found that just about every one of these counterfeit products sold contained damaging and dangerous compounds such as glue, gasoline, arsenic, and lead. This was causing terrible physical reactions in consumers. You think? In extreme cases, this product caused people's lips to glue shut. Yeah. You might think, okay, well, that's fine. I don't use cosmetics. Fuck the Jenners. I agree with you. But you know what? Counterfeit cannabis products represent just as much of a safety hazard as counterfeit cosmetics. Neither adhere or follow any laws, safety standards. They're not regulated by anybody, let alone a government agency. People who buy these products do so at your own risk. There could be a number of reasons. Unsanitary working conditions in counterfeit factories. Maybe the conditions hurt the employee just as much as the customer. Illegal cannabis farms are covered in pesticides, fungus, and bacteria. These products they produce can potentially be laced with heavy metals. They can be laced with fungus. They can damage one's health and bodily control. And of course, the original brand itself will suffer from the backlash caused by the bad performance of the counterfeit product, as people mistakenly think they're buying authentic and represent the entire brand. Bad things happen.
Message.
Back in 2007, the DEA tracked down an edible company producing Kif Kats. Yeah, I can't make that up. Putting an end to the brand ripoff lawsuit waiting to happen. Everybody knows what a Kit Kat bar is, and the cannabis manufacturer was absolutely using Kit Kat's powerful brand recognition to sell their product. Can you blame them? This not only exploits the makers of Kit Kat, but it also takes advantage of the customers by hijacking their expectations of receiving a product like flavor and quality of a Kit Kat bar. If you bought a Kif Kat from a dispensary, would you be pissed off if it didn't taste like a Kit Kat? I didn't think so. I mean, I get it though. Jokes aside, laws and regulations for cannabis are put in place to ensure health and safety of the consumer, not as some arbitrary measure to increase a price. The only way to assure we, the consumers, are always buying real is to buy from the original dispensary. Look at the packaging, the barcode, the labels. Assure yourself that the product itself is sold by the actual brand. Purchasing counterfeit cannabis may seem like an affordable solution, but so is buying a ripoff Louis Vuitton. You buy a ripoff Louis Vuitton, what's the worst that's going to happen? Somebody's going to notice? You buy a bad vape cartridge? Yo, the reality is, you get what you pay for.
Hey, this is Getting High with Eli, and you're listening to Cannabis Conundrum.
Smoke weed every day.
This is the sound of volcano erupting. And what's coming up next is the always informative Cannabis Conundrum. Smoke you out later. You're on Lulu Island. Mwah! Love you guys. Feels good to get high.
From our humble oasis in the heart of the desert, you are listening to
Cannabis Conundrum.
Would you like to be a part of the show? You can. Call us at area code 575-914-2444. Again, that's 575-914-2444. From the heart of the desert,
Cannabis Conundrum.
We'll be right back.
This is Weed Perfect.
This is Skunky with Skunky Crafts. You're listening to Cannabis Conundrum.
And we are back. You know, they come in every shape and size. There's somebody out there to get you. It doesn't matter what you want to buy. You want to buy cosmetics, you want to buy soap, you want to buy weed. Somebody's out there to get you. I guess that's something, though. If China's got knockoff vape cartridges, I think that's... we've arrived, have we not? As a people, we've arrived. This is a big day.
Smoke weed every day.
And you know what? Cannabis Conundrum is climbing. Slowly. We're inching up there. We're climbing up those ropes as fast as we can. I'm going to tell you what. We do what we can with what we have. Yo, we don't have a lot of resources to do the show, which is why we made our Patreon account. Would you consider $1 a month? That's $12 a year, yo. This show is going to continue to grow with or without your support. How fast do you want us to get there? Let us know. The Patreon account is patreon.com/cannabisconundrum. Or if you choose, whatever platform you're listening on has a bar that says support this podcast. You can click that and support us right through Anchor. You know, me and Foxy listen to a lot of podcasts, and I would like to take this opportunity to say, in the words of Medicine Remix, yo, make us famous, please. What if we had a morning cannabis show? What if we had a nighttime cannabis conundrum extravaganza? 5 days a week. If we hit the time, yo, one day it's gonna happen. We're gonna have a TV show. How fast do you want us to get there? Yo, on behalf of my beautiful producer, Foxy Lady, I myself, Desert Fox, am saying, yo, we out. We love y'all. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for sticking around. And remember, until you're growing weed in your front yard, legally, We all have the cannabis conundrum. So get involved. Call the show. Text the show. 575-914-2444. Email the show. CannabisConundrum@gmail.com. That's CONUNDRUM. We love y'all. Have a great night. And please, please, please don't buy vape cartridges online. Nailed it.